Today's shir is Masechta Basra Daf Kuf Nun Vav. We will begin on Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amar Aleph, 8 lines from the top. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. The main subject that we will be discussing, at least in the first part of our shir in Mirtz Hashem, is the issue of simonim, which means, as we discussed already in our prior shir, that the halach is a Jewish girl becomes a gedolah, becomes an adult when she's 12 years old, but she also has to bring simonim. She has to have shtei saris that prove that she's an adult. And so to a Jewish boy, is only a gadol, is only considered an adult when he's 13 years old and brings shtei saris. And the subject of our sugya, as I said now, is the need, the necessity to do the bedika, to do the determination, if indeed this child brought the shtei saris. And as the Rishonim already say, certainly it applies nowadays, we are not experts in how to do this bedika, and how to do this examination, if the child brought the saris or not. And therefore, halach l'maisa, this is not very relevant, because we have no way of don't have the expertise nowadays to make this determination. Just a number of halachas regarding making this determination. The Rishonim point out that the shtei saris are only considered shtei saris if they come after the child's birthday, after the 13th or 12th birthday. Saris that were there prior to the birthday are considered shuma ba'alma and are not considered a proof of adulthood. On the other hand, the Rishonim point out, I think it's the Miri that says this, that if the child clearly has achieved physical maturity, a boy has a beard, other such examples, clearly the halacha would be that such a child would be considered an adult. The need for examination only exists in a situation where it's not obvious that this child is an adult. Furthermore, the Rishonim discuss, the Gemara Masechta Nida speaks about the Chazaka Derava. Chazaka Derava is that when a child becomes bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, 13 or 12 years old, we can assume, says the Chazaka Derava, that he has brought the shtei saris. But the question that comes up is that when we make that determination, does that mean, how do we look at the Chazaka Derava? There are many opinions in the Rishonim how to view the Chazaka Derava. Some Rishonim say that we could rely on the Chazaka Derava both for matters that are questions of Raisa or questions of the Rabbonim. Other Rishonim suggest that we only rely on the Chazaka Derava by questions of the Rabbonin. For example, that a bar mitzvah is included in a minyan is only a Rabbonin. For that we can rely on Chazaka Derava. But a question of the Raisa, we cannot rely on Chazaka Derava. Yet other Rishonim, Tosfos seems to be of this opinion, is that we rely on the Chazaka Derava when we can't, or it's difficult to make a determination through examination. But wherever examination is an option, we don't rely on the Chazaka Derava. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Boitkim L'Kedushin L'Gerushin. We examine the child that this bar mitzvah for to determine if his Kedushin was a valid Kedushin or not. So there are a number of explanations in the Rishonim when they speak about being boidik for Kedushin. Actually, the simplest pshat is the Rif's pshat, that we know that the halacha is that a girl, as long as she's a ketana, her father could accept Kedushin on her behalf. And therefore what the Gemara says is, if a father is going to mekadesh a daughter, we have to determine, is she a gedolah or a ketana? An examination is done to make such a determination. That's the pshat of the Rif. Tosfos and most other Rishonim don't follow the Peshat of the Rif, even though, as I said, it's the easiest Peshat in the Gemara, because then the examination is on the girl. And Taisus and other Rishonim want to explain that the examination here is referring to examination on the boy who made the Kedushin. And therefore, Taisus explains that the situation that the Gemara is referring to when it speaks about Boykin Kedushin is that someone was Mekadosh a woman. Under those circumstances, there absolutely is no reason to do an examination. But now this woman accepted Kedushin from a second man. Now we have a need for doing this examination. Because if the first Kedushin was a full-fledged Kedushin, her act of accepting Kedushin from a second person was a meaningless act, and therefore it's totally discounted. If, on the other hand, this person, when he gave the Kedushin, was not yet a Gadol, and therefore the second Kedushin becomes a Kedushin, and therefore we have to make this examination to determine if the Kedushin she accepted after she accepted the first Kedushin were a valid Kedushin or not. And Tarsus goes on to explain. So now what will we do? We will examine him and see. If we see that he has Shtei Saris, we determine that he is a Gadol, and therefore the Kedushin that he gave was a valid Kedushin, and her act of accepting Kedushin from a second husband was meaningless. And as the Taisus explained, the Rishonim explained, because if we see that he is now a Gadol, because we see that now he brought Shtei Saris, it's clearly an indication that he was previously a Gadol also. Even though, as the Mefarshim, we've discussed in our Perek, Machloikus Rav Nosson Rav Yaakov, Machloikus Rav and Abaya, if we follow the Chazaka the Hashta, if just because he currently has Shtei Saris, is that necessarily a proof that he previously, when he made the Kedushin, had Shtei Saris? And clearly, not everybody follows the Chazaka the Hashta. So why are we following the Chazaka the Hashta here? Explain the Mefarshim. Because as we said at the beginning of our shir, here, we don't only have, in our Gemara, in the case that Tosfos is explaining, we don't only have the Chazaka the Hashta, that currently he has Shtei Saris, which clearly is an indication that previously he also had the Shtei Saris when he made the Kedushin. We also have the Chazaka the Rova, that says that people, when they become 13 years old, we could assume brought the Shtei Saris. So if we combine the Chazaka the Hashta with the Chazaka the Rova, we could be comfortable in assuming that he was a Gadol when he made the Kedushin. However, continues Taisus, and says, let's say we do the examination now, and he doesn't have the Shtei Saris. So now we have a question. On one hand, there's a clear indication that he doesn't have the Shtei Saris, and therefore the first act of Kedushin was a meaningless act, and only the second Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Or perhaps, says Taisus, we should be concerned that he had Saris when he made the first Kedushin. However, Shema Noshru, maybe those Saris fell out, and that's why we don't see the Saris now. And therefore, we have to be concerned that the first Kedushin maybe was a Kedushin, maybe wasn't a Kedushin, and the way to deal with it is that she has to take a get from the second husband. Ask the Noida Behuda, if we have the Chazaka the Rava, that says that if there was probably that most people, once their bar mitzvah, bring the Saris, shouldn't that Chazaka the Rava be enough to rely on to say that certainly he had the Saris when the first Kedushin was made, and that we should completely discount the second Kedushin? Explains the Noida Behuda. We can rely on a Chazaka the Hashta when we currently have a situation in front of us that points in one direction. When now he has Shtei Saris, that clearly an indication combined with the Chazaka the Rava that he had it previously. But if he right now doesn't have the Saris, so yes, Tosfos tells us there's a concern of Shema Nashru. Of a Shema Nashru can't create says the Nida Behuda, a situation that we should assume certainly that there was Saris when he made the Kedushin and not be concerned about the second Kedushin. Furthermore, says the Gemara al-Chalitza, we have to do a Bedika for Chalitza. We'll discuss this morning later, that a woman is only qualified, a woman and a man are only qualified to do Chalitza when they're G'daylim ul-Miyun. We know that the halacha is that a girl who is Yusayma, that means her brothers or her mother married her off, or even as we've learned, that a father married her off, but it was after she had been previously married and divorced, that Kedushin is only a Kedushin derabbanan, and is therefore subject to Miyun. Miyun meaning annulment. But the annulment can only be done if the husband did not do bia on her after she became 12 years old. But if she was 12 years old and the husband did bia with her, we have to be concerned that she had simonim, and now she's a full-fledged wife, and miyun is not an option, only a get. But if the husband did not have relations with her after she was 12, so if now, if we do an examination on her and we see that she doesn't have Saris, then she could still be a candidate for Miyun. And as the Rishonim explain, because since the entire concern is only Midrabbanan, if there was no Bia after she was 12 years old, if we don't see Saris, we could be lenient in assuming that she's still a Ketana and is still a candidate for Bia. And going back to what we discussed in the previous year, a child could sell property that he yashin from his father, cannot sell property that he yashin from his father, Achi ben Esrim. Pashup shot in the Gemara, we discussed this in the previous year, is that even though under certain circumstances they could sell, certainly metatlin could be sold by an intelligent child once he's 6 or 7 years old. An older child could sell even karka, but karka, property, real estate that was inherited from a father could only be sold until the child, or could only be sold after the child is 18 or 20. That's one pshat in the Gemara. Another pshat that we learned yesterday in the Gemara, which is the opinion we assumed of Rav Gidl ben Menashe and other Rishonim, the Rashbam seems to follow this opinion, that if the child is a intelligent child and he broached a Saris, he could sell property before 20. Another pshat is that he can't sell property that he yarshened ever before he's 20. To sell other properties he would be allowed to, but he at least has to be a gadol that he broached a Saris, and that's why this examination is necessary. It's interesting to point out a number of interesting points around this shaila about Achei ben Esrim. On one hand, I saw a tshuva from Rabbi Yoshev, where a question was asked to Rabbi Yoshev by a child who's 15 years old and is prepared to donate a kidney. And the question was, can he donate the kidney? Is he considered a bardas to donate his kidney at 15? And Rabbi Yoshev says that even though we're learning now in our sugyas that he's not considered able to sell property that he yashin until he's 20 years old, says Rabbi Yoshev that specifically to property that he yashin. And furthermore, as we're learning, some Rishonim say even property that he yashin, maybe he could sell when he's younger. But donating a kidney, certainly the child who's prepared to do this is obviously on the understanding of what a great mitzvah this is, and he can donate a kidney. On the other hand, I saw an interesting story that Rav Shach said. Rav Shach said there was once a Yesifas HaRabbonim, a meeting of Rabbonim, the subject at hand was that the Russian government wanted that every person should have the right to choose by themselves what religion they want to observe. And they came to the Rabbonim in Russia and asked them at what age is a Jewish child considered an adult? And everybody knows that 12 by a girl is a bat mitzvah, 13 by a boy is a bar mitzvah. So the government said, if so, that if the Jewish law considers them adults at that age, that should be the age at which they're asked what religion they want to observe. And it was an area of great concern, because at the end of the day, a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old is still a child. And it's very easy to convince them to give up Yiddishkeit, to give up Judaism. So Tzvi Hirsch, who was the son of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Kovnerov, said, used Algemar to tell the Russians, to tell the Russian government that we have to wait till 20. Because Algemar is teaching us to sell property that one yarshin from his father is only at the age of 20. So we see when it comes to Yerusha, the age isn't 13, 12, the age is 20. So too, to choose if we want to follow, for a person to choose if he wants to follow the Yerusha that he has from his forefather, the religion that he inherited from his forefathers, the age should be 20. And with that, they were able indeed to persuade the government that the age should be 20 when the children were certainly more mature. On the other hand, there's a very interesting question. The Torah, there's a lav in the Torah, a very serious lav in the Torah. The Torah says, Amon of a Yosem Leisanon. The person has to be very careful how we treat widows and Yosemim. And the question that the Paiskim discuss is, at what age is, till what age is a child considered a Yosem? Rachman al Tzlan, nobody should have the tsar of losing a parent. But that's the way the world goes. And let's say we'll have an individual who's 80 years old and he loses his parents. His parents were over 100. We call that person a Yosem. And many Paiskim, based on this Gemara, say that the age until one child is considered a Yosem, that the special law that the Torah specifies one may not antagonize a Yosem, goes until the age of 20. It's interesting to note that the Rambam, when he quotes this lav, doesn't speak about a specific age until what age a child is considered a yosim. And the Mefarshim say, because as we've learned in our sugyas, the truth is it really depends on every child according to his intelligence, and therefore the Rambam cannot quantify a specific age when a child is a yosim, because it really depends on the development of each child. Goes the Gemara, asks the Gemara, the Kiva the Bedakna L'Kedushin, if we already did an inspection by the Kedushin, an examination by the Kedushin, L'Gerushin, L'Amali, why do we have to do another examination by the Gerushin? So, the Mefarshim explain. According to the explanation that we quoted from the Rif, the Gemara's question is very understandable. Once we did an examination by the Kedushin, and we saw that this is either a Kedushin deraisa or not, there's no point to do another Kedushin by the Gerushin. But ask Tosfos, according to his explanation, that the only time we do an examination for the Kedushin is if this woman accepted Kedushin from a second man. Otherwise, there is no reason to do another examination. So ask Tosfos, the din there of Nachman and Mishmul is very understandable. Where there was a normal Kedushin done, she didn't accept Kedushin from a second man, but now she's getting divorced, and in order for the divorce to be considered a valid divorce, it has to be given by an individual as a gadol, so we have to do a bedika. So what's the Gemara's question? Furthermore, asked Tosfos, Memanav Shach, if the Kedushin is a Kedushin, so that's the Gerushin is a Gerushin. If the first Kedushin wasn't a Kedushin, why are we disturbed that he should give a get? Let him give a get, and if she didn't need it, we will have given a get anyway. What is the issue here? And in fact, the Yad Ramah seems to suggest that that exactly is the Gemara's question. However, Rabbeinu Yoina answers Tosfos' question. Tosfos' question was, give a get. What does it bother us if we give a get? And if she wasn't married, so the get will have been, doesn't mean anything. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, we don't want to give a get for no reason. Because once a woman is divorced, once she is a grusha, she's not allowed to marry kohen anymore. So there are very specific halachas in place once a woman is a megureshes. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, why, therefore, Tosis' question, don't give a get no matter what, isn't a question. Answers the Gemara, Le'nitzcha, the case that we're referring to, says the Gemara, is El Yibam, where Yibam, where somebody did, somebody died, a brother died, and now another brother did Yibam when he was still a cotton, because as we've learned, the Tanan, Ben Teisha Shana V'Yom Echad Shabal Yivim Tekana, a 9-year-old is able to do Yibam, but the halach is Ein Anoisin Get At Sheyagdel. The get that he gives, a person cannot give a get until he's a gadol. And therefore, says the Gemara Masechet Nida, if such a individual who was 9 years old and was not yet bar mitzvah and did Yibam in his sister-in-law wants to separate from her, both a get and chalitza will be required. There's actually a machloikus rishonim. What is the primary form of the solution? The Rashi and the Rabban say that really the get is what separates them. Chalitza is only midrabanan. Tosfos seems to learn that it's the chalitza that's required and the get is the rabanan. L'chalitza, the next statement that Shmuel made is that we have to do an examination regarding chalitza. What does that come to teach us? L'fuke mid Rabbi Yossi. To say we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Domit, Rabbi Yossi said, ish kosev the parasha. The Torah, when it speaks about chalitza, says that ish, a man does chalitza. Aval, isha, when it comes to the woman, the halacha according to Rabbi Yossi is ben gadol ben ketana. Whether she's an adult or she's a ketana, she can be the recipient of chalitza. Kamash malon. That's why Shmuel comes to teach us the makshina isha leish. The woman and the man are treated in the same way, and both of them, if they want to be part of a chalitza process, have to be gadolim. The like Rabbi Yossi, not like Rabbi Yossi taught us. The next thing that Shmuel said was lemiunin, that we do an examination regarding miyun, lefukir Rabbi Yehuda. What's it coming to teach us? That we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the examination done for miyun is different than the examination done for all other situations. Because as we learned, a woman, a girl, is considered a gedayla as soon as she brings shtei saris. Here, he says, the halacha is she's considered a ketana at sheyir b'shacha until that area is completely covered with hair. Kamash from the light of Yehuda, that the same type of bedika, the same type of examination that's always done, that shtei saris is enough, here too, shtei saris will be enough. The next thing Shmuel said was that he could sell properties until he's 20 years old. Lefukiv man da'amar, to teach us that the shear is 20, not 18, as we learned yesterday, machalikus is at 18 or 20. Vilchasa, furthermore, going back to some of the sugis that we discussed in the previous year, Vilchasa, the toichs man kelifnei's man. We asked in yesterday's shear if the age when one can sell is 18 or 20. Doesn't mean strictly 18 or 20. What about 17 or 19? Teaches us the Gemara that 17 or 19 is too early. It's either 18 or 20. Furthermore, for Hilchos Kigidel B'Menasha, the halacha is like B'Menasha, that if the child is and obviously has business experience, then the halacha is that he could sell property that he yashin from his father even when he's less than 20. For Hilchos to Mazutra, the halacha is like Mazutra, that a boy between the age of 13 and 20 can say testimony regarding metamplin, not regarding karka. V'hilchasa kamemer, The halacha is like a meimad that even though we said that when it comes to selling property, he can't sell property until he's 20 years old, but to give a gift when he's under that age, he may. And that the halacha is like Rav Nachman and Shmuel that we learned in all these cases where examination is required. Until this point, when we've been learning the sugyas of Shchimera, we always learned that the halacha is Divrei Shchimera k'ksuvim k'mesurim dami, and a Shchimera doesn't have to make a kinyan. Our Mishnah is going to introduce a new opinion, which says Hamachalik nechasav apiv. If somebody is a Shchimera and gives out his assets without making a kinyan, Rabbi Elazar Omer, echad bari v'echad mesukin, makes no difference if the person is healthy or is not. Nechasim shesh l'machrayis, karka can only be sold b'kesef, b'shtar, b'chazaka. And as the Rishonim point out, actually, chalipin also is effective for the sale of karka. Just our Mishnah doesn't mention it because our Mishnah is trying to show the difference between karka metatlin, and chalipin is effective both by karka and by metatlin. So the Mishnah avoids discussing chalipin. Ishein lamachrayis metatlin ein nikna el b'mashicha, only mashicha is effective. Again, and Rishonim point out, it's not only mashicha that's effective. All forms of kinyanim are effective. The point that the Mishnah tries to make is that it's not like that kesef shtar v'chazaka, which are effective means of kinyanim by karka, will not be effective means of kinyanim by metatlin. So we've learned now a new shita, the shita of Rabbi Elazar, that the shchimera also has to make a kinyan. But there are many different questions amongst Rishonim and how to understand the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. The simplest way of understanding, and this is the opinion of many Rishonim, is that Rabbi Elazar doesn't differentiate between a Shchimera and a Bari. And all the halachas that apply by healthy people apply by Shchimera. There are, however, different opinions. One issue discussed by the Pnei Shloima and by the Divrei Malkiel is in a situation where the Shchimera made a regular kinyan, which we know till now we've learned the Shchimera does not have to make a kinyan. Now we're learning that according to Rabbi Elazar, the Shchimera does make a kinyan. But there's another halacha we learned regarding a Shchimera, and that is that a Shchimera, if he recovers, could back out, could retract from what he said. What would Rabbi Elazar say regarding that? Asked the Pnei Shloima. And the Divrei Malkiel says that Rabbi Elazar will hold that a Shchimera, even if he recovers, cannot automatic, it's not considered that it could back out. Even if we'll say Rabbi Elazar follows the concept of Umdunah. Because explains the Divrei Malkiel. Since Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that a Shchimera has to make a kinyan, so if he has to make a kinyan, and his intention were that if he gets better, he should be able to back out of this kinyan, he should have so stipulated when he made the kinyan. The fact that he did not make such a stipulation is an indication that he meant to give it away under all circumstances. However, there are Rishonim, the Yad Ramah, makes an interesting point, according to Rabbi Elazar, that even Rabbi Elazar, who holds that a Shchimera has to make a full-fledged kinyan, Rabbi Elazar will agree, says the Yad Ramah, to a concept that has actually been introduced by Rabbi Yochim Abroika earlier in the previous parak. The Rabbi Yochim Abroika says that even though you can't change the dinim of Yerusha of the Torah, says Rabbi Yochim Abroika, that if a father gives a son who anyway have yashened him more, the Rabbi Yochim Abroika says that's effective. Suggests the Yad Ramah that Rabbi Elazar will agree that a Shchimera gives a gift to somebody who's a Yairish, there will not be a need for a kinyan. Another interesting question is that, as we've learned previously in our perek, that there's a new category, a category above a Shchimera, and that's someone who's a Mitzava Machmas Nisa. And the Rashbam and the Rishonim discuss what will Rabbi Elazar hold regarding a Mitzava Machmas Nisa. Some Rishonim suggest that Rabbi Elazar will agree that a mitzava that Rabbi Lezer will say mitzava machmas misa also has to make a kinyan, whereas other rishonim say that Rabbi Lezer will agree that a mitzava machmas misa, where it's obvious that what he's giving is because he's dying, he uses the words misa. There, halacha Rabbi Lezer will agree a kinyan is not required. So Amalei, the Chachamim wanted to prove to Rabbi Lezer that he was wrong. And he says, Masa b'imin shebnei Rachel. There was an incident with the mother of the sons of Rachel. Shai shechayel, that she was a shchimera. Vama tenu kivinasi labiti. Give my pin to my daughter. V'hi b'shnei masa mana. And it was worth 12 mana. V'meis, and she passed away. V'kaimis t'vareh. She didn't make a kinyan. And yet, it was fulfilled. And again, based on what we explained, either she was a mitzava machmas misa. And the halacha is a mitzava machmas misa. Doesn't have to give everything away, that it should have the din like a shchimera, or other rishonim suggest that this was the extent of everything she owned, and since this was the extent of everything she owned, that's why it would be normally matana shchimera, which the rabbana proving is effective without a kinyan. Amalhen, Surah Lezer responded to them, there is no proof from that situation, because Bnei Rachel, you want to bring a raya from the Bnei Rachel, Tigbarim Iman, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, they were Rishoyim, they acted inappropriately, and that's why Bezdin, with its authority of Hefker, Bezdin Hefker, had the ability of maintaining this gift, even though Rabbi Lezer himself would hold that it wasn't done properly. The Rishoyim ask, why isn't there a concept of mitzvah l'kayim devar meis, even if it will not be considered a matana shchimra, but isn't there a din a mitzvah l'kayim devar meis? We have to fulfill what were clearly her wishes, and if this were the wishes of the mother, we should have to follow them. So the Rishonim point out that the concept of mitzvah l'kayim devar meis is only applicable in when a number of conditions are met. One condition is that the person who passed away told other people to do it, not that it should be done by him himself, that those people he made that request from accepted the assignment, and furthermore, the item that this person asked the other people to give to another person were in their possession at that point. Here, clearly, all of that wasn't in place, and therefore there's no concept of mitzvah l'kayim devar meis. So the Gemara, to the Mishnah said, since these people, and the Gemara will explain why they were Rishoyim, but since these people were Rishoyim, that's why Chazal let the gift stand to the daughter. But ask the Rishoyim, there's a pasuk in the Torah, pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, loisata mishpat avyon chaberivoy. We have to do what's right. So how could, if halachically this wasn't considered a valid gift, how could we undo it? So the Rishonim answer that the din of Leisat Mishpat Avyon Chaberivoy refers to a Bezdin. That if two litigants come to a Bezdin, even though one is a Rasha and one is a Tzaddik, if the Rasha is right, Bezdin has to pass it on his behalf. We have to do what's right. Here it wasn't a Din Torah, and therefore since it wasn't a Din Torah, it was the din of Leisat Mishpat Avyon Chaberivoy doesn't apply. Furthermore, the Rishonim suggest that here it's a situation of a knas, of a fine, for as we learned they did something wrong regarding Kalayim, and when a fine is always allowed to be administered when Bezdin sees so fit. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Amalem Rabbi Lozal Chachamim, Rabbi Lozal said to the Chachamim, Maisa Baroni Echad Shai Bishlayim. There was a story with a Meroini who lived in Yerushalayim. V'hoyolay metatlan harbe. He had many metatlan. Bikshim litnam matana. And he wanted to give them as a gift. And he was a shchimerad, the Gemara is assuming at this point. Amrloy. So how can this gift be effective? Amrlam elam takana. There's no effective means of administering this gift. At shikna agav karka. Unless they do a kinyan agav. So he went and he bought a small piece of property near Yerushalayim. Vomar, and he said, the north side of this property should go to Pliny. Vima may saw in a may chavis, and with this should go along 100 sheep and 100 barrels. The dry may and the south side should go to Pliny. Vima may saw in a may chavis, and with it 100 sheep and 100 kegs. Vimes, and he passed away. Became a chamam stvarov. So we see, says Rabbi Lazar, that a shchimera could only make an effective gif with a real kinyan, not with any other means. So you, says Rabbi Lazar to the chamim, that say the divrei shchimera k'ksuvim and k'nesuvim dami and no kinyan is required is difficult to understand. Amaloi, so they respond to him, Misham Raya, there's no Raya from that incident. Miraini Bari Haya, he was a healthy person. And since he was a healthy person, therefore, he has to make a real kinyan. The Rashi discusses a number of issues why different types of kinyanim weren't an option in this situation. Kinyan Chalipin, the Rishonim suggest, wasn't a suggestion, wasn't an option, because there was nobody who was willing to give up their suder to effect a kinyan Chalipin. We discussed earlier in our parak to say the Rishonim the concept of a kinyan oidaisa, which is if I admit that this property belongs to somebody else, that's an effective kinyan. So why didn't he try here a kinyan oidaisa? So there are a number of answers given to Rishonim. One answer, going back to what we discussed when we learned the sugya of oidaisa is not a kinyan, and therefore he wanted to make a real kinyan, which oidaisa isn't. Another suggestion given by the Rishonim is Odaisa, even though it's an effective kinyan, he didn't want to say something which wasn't true. What does Odaisa say? I'm being minded that this property, that these assets belong to this individual. It's not true. They don't belong to that individual. And therefore, kinyan Odaisa wasn't an option. A third teretz is that this person who gave the gift did not really want the gift to be effective from today. It should only be effective at a later time. And in all the other types of kinyanim, in the standard types of kinyanim, one can make a kinyan that it shouldn't be effective immediately. It should be effective at whatever day he so chooses. However, when it comes to kinyan oidaisa, such a kinyan can only be effective immediately. And since that wasn't what he wanted, he didn't choose to go with a kinyan oidaisa. So he did a kinyan agaf. And Rishonim used this gemara to discuss a question that comes up regarding kinyan agav. Kinyan agav, as we've discussed numerous times, means that agav, the property, I'm makna to you also metaltlin. The question that comes up, do I have to give you a share of the property for the kinyan agav to be effective? From this gemara, and this is the opinion of many Rishonim, it seems that indeed, because he says, I'm giving you a piece of land, let's svinoi, let's dry my. Other Rishonim, however, disagree. And they say that a kinyan agav is effective even if the person doesn't take ownership of the land. Here, he gave them the land because he was giving everything that he had away, so he gave this away too. But then the Mefarshim ask, why did he have to buy a new piece of property to do kinyan agav? Why couldn't he do kinyan agav with the property that he lived in or the property where those assets were currently? And in fact, based on this question, and I've already quoted previously the opinion of the Marit says the kinyan agav could only be effective on a piece of property that I actually own. And the property where he was currently, and the property where these assets, these metaltlin were currently, were all rented properties, and rented properties cannot accomplish a kinyan agav. However, other Rishonim disagree, and they say that kinyan agav can be done on rented property, but they say it has to be at least rented property. And they explain that the wording of the Gemara is so beautiful in explaining this position. The Gemara begins, Ma'is b'roini achad shahoy b'shalayim. We know that Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. Yerushalayim was not divided to shvatim, and not only was Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, but furthermore, the halacha is that you're not allowed to rent out property in Yerushalayim. So now we understand the Gemara. Where was this Meroini? This Meroini was in Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, the property he's on for free. It's not rented property. Yes, he could do Kinyan Agav on rented property, but at least it has to be property that's rented to you, even if you don't own it. But not property that you have not even a rental agreement on. So he wants to do Kinyan Agav, and where he is, he can't do a Kinyan Agav. So what did he do? So he bought property near Yerushalayim. Well, this is near Yerushalayim, you can buy property. And indeed, he could have rented property also near Yerushalayim, because in Yerushalayim, since you can't rent or own property, Kinyan Agav cannot be done. Amlem, so Rabbi Elazar said, B'nai Rachel Tikbarim Imon. The B'nai Rachel, the mother, should bury them. So as the Rishonim frame on the Gemara's question, Rabbi Elazar is cursing them. So they clearly were Rishonim. So how are the Rabbonin bringing a raya to their opinion from such individuals? These were individuals who kept thorns in their kerem, in the vineyard. Rabbi Elazar Tamei, and Rabbi Elazar is following his opinion, which Rabbi Elazar's opinion is the Tanan, Hamakayim Koitz Mekerem, as somebody keeps thorns in a field, and the Chazanish says it's not only if somebody maintains them, certainly the same then applies if somebody plants them. Rabbi Elazar Mekadosh. Rabbi Elazar says that that is considered klayim. The Chum Amrim, the Chum disagree. Like Kadosh El Davish Kamoy Kayanyan. If it's thorns, since people aren't interested in keeping thorns, there is no din of klayim. And that was why Rabbi Elazar said they were Rishonim, and because and they were Rishonim, that's why we can't bring a raya from them. Rabbanan disagreed. Ask the Gemara, Bishlam Karkum, we could understand if they were keeping Karkum, which is something valuable, which is Chazi. That's why Rabbi Elazar will hold it's a situation of Klayim. El Kaitzim asked the Gemara, Lamai Chazi, why would somebody keep Kaitzim? Why would somebody be interested in thorns? Amram Chanina, my time, Rabbi Elazar, Shekem Ba'avi, Mekayim Kaitzim, Sodas Lagamalayim. He lived in Arvia. And in Arvia, they did use thorns to feed, they had a lot of camels, and therefore it's considered klayim. And the Ritva uses this Gemara. Firstly, the Rishonim explain that obviously these people lived in Arvia, which was the place where Rabbi Elazar was the Rav, and therefore they had the obligation to follow Rabbi Elazar's opinion, and they didn't, that's why they were cursed. So the Ritva frames this Gemara very beautifully. He says, we find in the Gemara different concepts. On one hand, we find the concept of a bottle diet that's called Adam. If somebody does something that nobody else does, we discount it. On the other hand, we find Halacha that each place follows its own minig. And a third thing, we find that the minig in one place establishes the minig for everywhere else. How do we understand these three seemingly very different concepts? Says Ritva. If somebody does something that really doesn't make any sense, there we say, batel daita leitzakol adam. If somebody does something which is not that hard to understand, but most people don't do it, so then we look at each place what their minig is. But if somebody does something which makes all the sense in the world, and he uses our Gemara as an example, If I lived in a place where I was raising camels, I would be very interesting in thorns. Just most people don't raise camels, and that's why they don't need thorns. But certainly anybody who, if we had that situation, would be interested in thorns. That's when the halacha is that we follow the minhag of one place to the rest of the world. Amar Belevi, Shchimra, Kainin Kinyan Shchimra Afil B'Shabbos. We could do a Kinyan from a Shchimra even B'Shabbos. Not because we're following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that we've been learning. Rabbi Elazar says the Shchimerah has to do a Kinyan. Just the reason is Shema Tetradata for love. We're concerned that if we won't do the Kinyan on behalf of the Shchimerah, he may disturb him and worsen his situation. So there's a very big machlokes to show him how to understand this Gemara. The Rambam's opinion is that since we hold the Divrei Shchimerah Kesuvim Kemesurim Dami, and there is no reason for Shchimera to do a Kinyan. So since there is no reason for Shchimera to do a Kinyan, we can do a Kinyan in Shabbos, even though normally Kinyan may not be done in Shabbos. Here it doesn't make a difference. The Kinyan is really meaningless. That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Rashbam and Tosfos disagree. They say even in a situation where a kinyan is required, still because of Shema Titrav Datav Alav, we're concerned that it should adversely affect this sick individual, and the issa to make a kinyan is only issa de Rabbanon. The halacha is we could do the kinyan on Shabbos, even though it's needed. The Rosh differentiates between a situation where the Shchimer has given away all of his assets, that there the halacha is that the kinyan is done, could be done on Shabbos, versus where he's not doing or giving away everything, where the kinyan may not be done on Shabbos. And this Gemara is the basis for halacha that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch says that there's a Shchimera who's very sick and he wants on Shabbos that a relative of his should be called. We're allowed to send a goy, which is only an Isser, to Rabbanon to go be even involved Chil Shabbos to go call his relative. The question that came up already in the times of the Shail Sechuvah Shail Meshiv is if somebody has a relative who's very ill and the relative wants to go to the sick relative he's being called for, maybe may he be Michal Shabbos to go visit, to go to the relative. Obviously it's not a question where he'll be there, it's, without his being there it's a question of Sakonis Nefashis, because then you're certainly allowed to be Michal Shabbos by being over the Rabbanon. That means the question is, are you allowed to go on a train? Going on a train is only in the Sidra Rabbanon, and perhaps Shloi Titra Datafilov, our Gemara introduced a new concept of Shloi Titra Datafilov, we're worried that the person shouldn't be upset, which will adversely affect his health, we should be allowed to do a Nisid Rabbanon. And the Shalom Meshev is actually lenient, and he says he could be Michal Shabbos with Rabbanon. He actually makes an interesting point that if he's going on the train, he shouldn't go on the train wearing his Shabbos garments. Many Paiskim disagree, the Harib Subim, the Machz Avram disagree, and they say that our Gemara is referring to a situation but doing a kinyan is not such a significant act. According to the Rambam's opinion, the kinyan that's being done is really completely an unnecessary act, and that's why we could be more lenient. Under other circumstances we can't be more lenient. However, the Paiskim do use this concept of being lenient in a situation where it'll affect the mental health of the chayla. There's a famous Shaila, which many, many tshuvas were written on the Shaila, where this happened more frequently in earlier years, that if people had contagious diseases, anything that they brought along with them to the hospital could not be removed from the hospital, had to be incinerated. And the question is if such a person could bring his tefillin to the hospital, knowing that they will be burnt because he can't take them out. And Rav Moshe has tshuvas on this, the Michas Yitzchak, and one of his tshuvas actually quotes the Lubavitch Rebbe, and he says that one of the reasons we allow this sick individual to bring his tefillin to the hospital, even though he knows that they will be incinerated, because this individual who's not well, having to have to be all these days without the tefillin, could cause Shema Titrav Datav Alav, that he should not be well. And Shema Titrav Alav is a serious concern that we're learning in our Gemara. However, one more interesting point that I saw that the Paiskim make, and that is, our Gemara says, Shema Titrav Datav Alav, make a kinyan. Why can't we do the following? Ask the Paiskim. Tell the Chayla that we've done what he's requested. There's a question after Shlomo Kluger, where there was somebody who was very ill and wanted a telegram to be sent on Shabbos to Tzaddik to daven on his behalf. And the question was, can we be Michal Shabbos through a goy? So the question that Rav Shlomo Kluger was asked is, why not just tell the Chayla that we did it and not do it? So he says, very interesting, if the halacha would be that we could just fool the ill individual, he knows our Gemara, and he knows that our Gemara teaches us that you could do that. So he'll always be concerned that they maybe fooled me. And we don't want that he should have mental distress. So the only option we have, because unfortunately, Talmid HaChachamim also gets sick, And if they'll know that we could fool them, they'll never be comfortable. So the only option we have is actually to do what the Gemara says, that when there's a question, for the health and well-being of the Chayla, to do at least certainly something that's an Issa D'Rabbanan.